Example, drinking alcohol. Drinking alcohol is haram, prohibited. Prohibition and the attribute that led to that prohibition is, we said, intoxication. And does the human mind understand the relationship between intoxication and prohibition? Yes. Because we can argue, as we said earlier, intoxication leads to loss of life or loss of property and loss of reason and so many things, and some of the statistics that I shared with you and so on and so forth. We can. It is rationalizable. And that is, therefore, we can define, as a matter of fact, mu'amalat, or the adat corpus of Islamic law. You may not find this in some, most of the works, so some of you should please note this. Therefore, we can define mu'amalat and adat as that corpus of Islamic law in which the relationship between the legal verdict and itself is rationalizable, or between the legal verdict and the attribute that led to it is rationalizable. It's okay if some of you, if some of us don't grasp this, this is meant for you know, for some people who are interested in law and interested in theoretical law. They don't study much in American law about jurisprudence, actually. They're very weak in that. Even judges are very weak in jurisprudence. It's on their own, actually, that they could do that. Some schools do more than others, unfortunately. It's very unfortunate. Ibadat becomes then the corpus of law in which the relationship between the legal verdict and the attribute that led to it is non-rationalizable. That doesn't mean irrational. I said non-rationalizable. My mind cannot find a rationale, cannot find a rationale between the legal verdict of prohibition or of mandatoriness and so on, cannot find a relationship between that and the attribute that led to it. And I'm going to give an example in a moment. And therefore they say the ibadat have no illah. The ibadat are non-mu'allala. There is no illah for ibadat. That's one way to look at it. Or you would say, some scholars would say, there is illah, but we don't yet understand it. In the sense there is reason. If you say there is reason, obviously, there is always reason before every verdict. But some of that reason, because it is supra-rational, spiritual reason, or so, our rational mind is not supra-rational, it's not the qalb, it's the mind. When it comes to the law, Islamic law, it's the mind that is held accountable, not the qalb. It's very important. When it comes to law, when it comes to rights, and when it comes to, as far as we're concerned, in enforcing the law, it's the mind that counts, not the qalb. So therefore, if somebody is crazy in Islamic law, he or she is not held accountable for their actions. Right? You don't hold a crazy person accountable for their actions. Manatu al-taklifi al-aql, as the scholars say. Manatu al-taklifi al-aql. It is the aql that is the basis for legal responsibility in society. So, no illah, in the sense that I have explained. Example. please allow me, when I lose my wudu, when I someone goes to the restroom or someone passes gas, the law says, in terms of salah, if that happens, you must perform wudu before you do salah. Now one ponders, the lawgiver subhanahu wa ta'ala related the legal verdict of obligation of washing your hands and your mouth and your nose and all of that. He related it to passing gas, for example. Al-Hadath al-Asghar. Can my mind comprehend the relationship between passing gas and washing your hands? If it were up to me, what would I do if I had any idea about what I do? I would go wash the place where the gas passed. La haya fi din. Talking about gas. Including if I defecate, Islamically, I have to wash, yes? But then I go and wash my hands and my mouth and my nose and my ears. And what do these things have to do with that, you know, with that aspect of losing my tahara? This is an example of non-rationalizability. It's not irrational, because it has nothing to do with rational versus irrational. I'm unable to rationalize that. Or for instance, when I see the crescent of the month of Ramadan, then I must begin fasting. What is this relationship between a crescent and stopping from eating? I don't know. Why not in the middle? Why not when it is a full moon? Why not when it is a quarter moon? Why not? I don't know. So once I see that crescent in its birth, and I see it, then I must begin my fast. Non-rationalizable. That's ibadat, that's mu'amalat. And in Islamic law, you see, they are dealt with differently. And therefore, subhanAllah, I'm going to finish this statement and inshallah I finish in the next hour at least this concept. And therefore, the legal statement, the legal axiomatic statement in Sharia is that al-ahkamu bi'ilaliha. Al-ahkamu bi'ilaliha. In other words, legal verdicts depend on the ilal, on these operative or direct causes or reasons. They mean by that, and it is said very explicitly also, if the verdict that arose due to a illah, if the illah that gave rise to that legal verdict changes, the legal verdict, the law changes. Do you understand that? This is not a modern lawyer speaking. This is 14 centuries old. Right? Al-ahkamu bi'ilaliha. تدور مع عللها وجودا وعدما وجودا وعدما. If the illah is present, the legal verdict is present. If the illah is removed, is absent, the legal verdict is absent. Al-Imam Ibn al-Arabi says, رحمه الله تعالى, for example, this is agreed upon in every school of thought except the Zahiri school of thought. Yet he has a notion of that, Ibn Hazm. And Ibn al-Arabi, for example, says, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I quote, specifically talking about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in this case, in the view of the context of the issues he was dealing with in his book. And he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, and I quote, فَكُلُّ شَيْءٍ أو فَكُلُّ مَا فَعَلَهُ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ. لحاجة وحكمة وسبب فإن السبب إذا ارتفع وجب أن يرتفع ذلك الحكم. وإذا عاد أن يعود ذلك. End of quote, as I know it. Therefore, he says, rahimahullah ta'ala, everything that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for a need, for a wisdom, for a reason, and that if that reason is changed or is lifted, then that which he did or that hukm will have to be lifted as well. And if that reason returns, then that hukm returns. And since ibadat have no illa, they are constant. They're always constant. And that's the hikmah of shara. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not build his the ibadat upon rationalizable matters. They are beyond rationalizability. Example that I gave you. Why do we perform 4 rak'at in Dhuhr and not 5? I don't know. Is it irrational to perform 4? It's nothing to do with irrationality. Why not 3? Like Maghrib. Why not 5? Somebody wants to worship Allah more and loves Allah Azza wa Jalla, and says, I think Dhuhr, I should do 7. I should do 7 because it's good to worship Allah Azza wa Jalla. No, you can't, because that's a non-mu'allal activity in Islamic law, in the corpus of Islamic law. And therefore it never changes. And the fact that it does not change is good for human beings, as we shall see, and if you think about it. And in view of the nature of this idea here, the nature of this idea, is it spiritual or is it material? Spiritual. And look at this, subhanAllah. Is the soul time bound? Is it timeless? Does it change ever? Is the soul space bound? No. Is the soul bound in any ways that we know of these 4 dimensions? No. So its timelessness, subhanAllah, its space boundlessness is consistent with its continuous flow and constancy. It is not bound by time. If time changes, it changes. So the laws pertaining to it do not change. Allahu Akbar. Whereas matters of mu'amalat, are they bound by time and space? Yes, they are. And interestingly enough, Islamic law had inherently in itself said that it is connected to these things to be as accurate as possible. And if these reasons change, then the law changes, and it's very consistent philosophically with the temporal things bound by time and bound by space. And here is the Islamic law concerned with two corpus of human activities. This is what they call traditionally in other religions and in secular laws, religious law. Religious law. What I'm doing for you here is you don't find it, I think, written in books. These are ijtihadat, which are very... anyone who wants to challenge it, please let me know. And then the corpus of mu'amalat is what is called secular law. What I would call the secular aspect of Islamic law. Yet the secular put it in inverted comma. Most people won't understand this discourse unless one is talking with Islamic legal scholarship. Because the word secular in English, what does it mean? It means of the world. It means of the world, earthly, of the world. And with that meaning, this is of the world part of Islamic law. This is of beyond this world part of Islamic law. And that in religious discourse of other religions, and when secular people talk about religion, religious law, as they have experienced it in their traditions and their history, this is what they mean. And they don't know that in Islamic law, it has these two things. And they have two different ways and approaches to deal with both of them. And I'm going to stop here, inshallah, for now. And then when we come back, we resume where we ended, inshallah ta'ala. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.